What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff? Haven't sung that in months.
No. Well, and now I'm recording. Oh, just after you finish the song.
Jeremy can play my solo rendition.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm taking out my teeth because I'm going to, don't mind me, I'm going to eat, I just made a tiny quesadilla because I was suddenly starving.
So you're going to eat on the podcast?
Just briefly.
Well, I can always, you know, just call you back. Yeah,
it's like we're doing a taste test.
Ugh, I can't imagine anyone wanting to hear someone chew.
Like, some people love it.
Well, I don't know, ladies from another, feel free to write us and and let us know if you enjoy listening to Reed eat. I am in the camp of I don't enjoy that. Well, and but I understand that if ever we set up to do this podcast in the at some point in the ocean of our days, you will find a way to bring something directly into it to perhaps make it, as you said, more like life.
Mm-hmm. Since now the podcast is just talking on the phone for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy New Year, everybody.
Have you finished your quesadilla?
Halfway.
You're halfway. Wow, you made a really big one, didn't you?
Well, no, I've only been eating for like 30 seconds.
No, it's been over a minute.
Oh, Jack. Happy New Year, everybody. Today is the first, isn't it?
Today's the first. Happy New Year. And what a year it's been. I know for a lot of people, 2020 was very hard. For me personally, 2019 was harder.
Uh-huh. I would definitely say that's very true for you.
Yeah. 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 How was 2020 for you, Reed?
It was really interesting. I'd say it was like one of the more memorable years in recent years, for sure.
It is absolutely pretty memorable.
And, you know, it's been filled with like a lot of curiosity. And I can't say it's had like major ups or downs, because like I haven't actually been super sad about this, you know? I mean, it is sad that certain things are not available, like we don't go to shows anymore, but I don't know. It's been really interesting exploring new modes of communication and feeling activated and curious about stuff, and also
because you're also in school.
Wow. I think it's brought out, I feel like we know more about each other from this. Like getting to talk to people on FaceTime and Zoom, like you know kind of more about them in a way. You're in their home. Is that weird?
Interesting. No, I think I haven't had that experience. I think, but as we know, I tend more to the depressive spectrum in this duo.
Right.
So I have found, well, this wasn't, as I said, like a difficult psychological year for me. It has been really difficult to watch people do whatever they want. Not always, but sometimes. I mean, the fact that holiday travel was pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
And as every doctor has said, January will be a really terrible time of death in this country.
Yes.
And now we're going to hospital rations. So I feel like that is happening, that we're, you know, have over doubled the cases we were at September. I think that feels, it's hard for me to not, to detach with love, as they say in Al-Anon, from that fact. But perhaps that's what I need to do. And sometimes I do. Look, when I'm right where my feet are, as the saying goes, I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like at the end of the day, other people's lack of care and irresponsibility doesn't have an extremely profound effect on my life. I mean, yes, right. It definitely delays any chance of our universe getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm rarely in situations where I feel threatened by people like that.
Right. So. Yeah, no, I mean, it's more sort of like we just are in a country that is like threatened by that as the virus, you know, spreads this away and that away.
Right. Wait, but, why are you so quiet suddenly?
I don't know.
Oh, now you're loud. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, I loved one of the headlines of today of, they just don't know why the vaccine is not getting to people.
Yeah, why is that?
Because it's being doled out through the Trump administration, which is, you know, like a literal burning sack of shit. And, so it'll be as fucked up as like anything in this hideous presidency.
Right. But I do feel like those organizations, like whoever's responsible for getting the vaccine out to the people, I feel like those organizations are not beholden to the Trump administration. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Well, everything, you know, the fish rots from the head. So until, like, the fucking rotten, you know, piece of garbage that is Donald Trump is removed.
Yeah.
And then all of these other, you know, as the supporting actors go to the day players, go to the extras with one lines, go to the extras, you know, it's just, it's all got to ripple out from there.
Right. Right, right, right.
In this like awful nightmare show we're in called America. It's all that jazz.
You really you're taking on a lot, Jack.
Reed, when have I not?
Yeah, I know, but
it's like it's something I can work on in 2021. I have my thing.
That's what you're going to work on.
Not caring.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's rather than care about things out of your control,
right,
and gigantic groups of people that do not know you or care about you.
Totally.
It's best to focus on the things immediately around you and caring for those things and those people.
I agree with like almost the majority of that. And then I have to extend some of myself to these people who I don't know and will never know. I don't know why. It's like, it's codependency. Maybe it's spirituality. Maybe it's interdependence. I mean, well, I do believe we are interdependent, and this has really shown us that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that actions affect actions. And so, but I do think, you know, I have lived a very long life feeling sort of hypervigilant, and not sort of, being hypervigilant, and that hypervigilance extending itself to like, oh my God, of course the variant happened in Colorado. You know, it's like, and I think there could be some pulling back of my energies, which is something that I love that you said that this year has felt curious to you, because I agree. There have been things that I have worked on for many years psychologically that started to just click into place.
Mm.
And partly because I think I had just this weird, also kind of monastic time of just teaching, and that was it. Like, I taught. And then it was like, what are we eating? Mm-hmm. I generally haven't been able to watch anything, so I've been reading. And then go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But for 2021, I remember one year we had a thing that was like, we wanted to have more fun. And then I think what happened was I like lost my mind. I think that was 2019. I don't think we did a New Year resolution for 2020 that I recall.
Yeah, I don't know.
That we had had one that was about having more fun. And so for 2021, I'll do the, I don't know what it's called. I feel I have plenty of focus on myself. So it's not about that, but
no.
Some more detach with love, yes, I guess, is detach. What I'm going to detach with love. You know.
Yes, I think that's a good word for you, detach.
Detach, yeah. There is this incredible part in, I think it's in Terry's Frozen Mommy. I was thinking last night how funny it would have been if Terry O'Connor, hi Terry, I hope you're listening, had a drag name that was called Miss Terry. Because I really thought that's a good, you know, I love the mystery of Terry's.
Oh, I get it. Work. Miss Terry. Yeah. I was like, yes. Jack, it's not that funny.
Oh, it is, though. Miss Terry. And she's like, you figure it out. But there's some, I think it's in Frozen Mommy, where they would walk around the stage and they'd have their fingers together, like closed and also touching. And they would go detach. And then they'd pull their fingers apart. And away from each other and open them, and someone else, or there was some people doing it, and someone else on the stage would go and their like back would crack backwards.
Gorgeous.
I think it might have been in Baby. It was either in Frozen Mommy or Baby. Terry, let me know. I think it's Baby now that I think about it, but no, Frozen Mommy. But it's really good. That was really good. What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I haven't been thinking about it, so.
Well, I didn't think of it either. I did it right now.
I'll have to make it up on the spot. Okay. I'm laying in bed now, so I can,
good. Yes, lay in bed.
My New Year's resolution. What do I want for myself?
Did you say what do I want from or for?
I said from.
Okay.
But I guess either word works.
Not really, because from is far more achievable in a way. Or maybe not, depending on what the psychological gesture is.
Yeah. I do feel like every year I'm like, I want you to put aside a little time every day to exercise or, you know, do something that'll make you feel like you've done something good, make you feel proud of yourself, you know?
But you do that every day, Reed.
I don't at all, Jack. This is a misconception.
I feel like you've always taken a Cunningham, or you like, you know, did like rubber bands for like 15 minutes.
It is a common misconception. Every time I tell someone I never exercise, they're like, but you do Cunningham every day. I did Cunningham every day from about April to July. Because of Instagram Live.
Uh-huh.
And I've probably done it 3 times since then. It is
work.
January 1st.
T. It's a real moment.
But however, this is what I do for myself. I do generally do 40 push-ups before I take a shower at night, and I do sometimes do rubber bands.
Well, I think that is a lot.
That's a 6 to 7 minute routine. You know?
Plenty.
It's something. It's not nothing. Plenty. You know?
So you're wanting it to actually be like 60 minutes.
Well, I'd like to break a sweat once in a while. And maybe that could be 4 times a week, 3 times a week, you know? And I'm doing well this week, I have to say, because I took Yuval Boehm's yoga class yesterday.
Was it live or what?
Yeah, it was via Zoom. And you would love it, Jack. It's great because I've done it twice. I did one of his Instagram Live classes, and then I've done this Zoom class. And it's Iyengar yoga, and you spend a lot of time correcting postures.
Yes, absolutely. The Pilates of yoga, Iyengar. Yeah.
So I really liked spending time and not just sort of moving through choreography, you know?
Right. It's far more about finding, like, it's about aligning.
And really, it's like
putting yourself in a rack, you know, like really stretching yourself out. So I liked that. That's what I needed yesterday. Yeah. And I did do Carol Teitelbaum's yoga. I mean, what's it called? Cunningham class on Monday. So I didn't make it all the way through. I did like 2/3 of it. I was like, that's good enough.
I think that's great.
Yeah. So that's good. I feel like I could keep that going. Now, here's the other thing. I really need to develop a more consistent reading practice where I have like, I sit down for a couple hours a day and I read with index cards and post-its so that I'm keeping track of the things I need for my research, stuff like that.
Oh, I see. So you read and you take notes on index cards and post-its, or you stick them in the book as you read them?
In the book, so that I can keep track of things I need to refer to in my research, because, you know, bibliographies are apparently important, though I don't understand how to do any of that stuff.
Yes, what I do with a post, I don't have those little tiny post-its. I just have regular post-its, and so I'll tear a little corner of the sticky one off and stick it on the page. Mm-hmm. And I only do those on the pages that I'm going to need to do direct quotes from. Mm-hmm. But I frequently fold, I dog ear. I've just started dog earing books. Because I always thought that was really rude, and I was like, don't do it. And then I thought, you know what? These are mine. Yeah. I'm gonna dog ear these.
Well, I feel very comfortable ruining the books that I own. Like, mm-hmm. very comfortable to just use a highlighter, write in the margins, whatever.
Yes.
But I have so many of Linda Murray's books from her collection, and they are pristine.
Of course.
Like, almost like the binding hasn't been cracked, and yet she knows everything. Everything.
Everything. So, she might just be able to tap a book to her head, though, and download the whole thing.
Totally. So I can't do anything to these books. I'm like being very careful, you know?
Yes, yes. Going through them with pyrite gloves.
Pyrite? What's a pyrite glove?
Oh, wait. No, pyrite is a stone I love and have. It's tyrol. It's something I...
Rubber. It's rubber.
L-E at the end of it.
I don't know. I did watch a video on how rubber gloves are made last night.
Nitrile.
Don't know what that is. Is that a
nitrile
brand?
Nitrile gloves. No, you get nitrile instead of latex. It's for people who have latex allergies using nitrile gloves.
I see. I did a deep dive the last couple of days on how it's made. You know, like jawbreakers, cake sprinkles, rubber gloves, toothbrushes, stuff like that.
Wow. Wow. And?
It's mind-numbing. And also, if I can't really understand what's going on, I feel very frustrated. Like, watching how a toothbrush is made, there were certain processes where they'd say, and then the bristles are inserted into the holes and wire holds them in place. I was like, where's the wire? You know what I mean? Like, I saw no wire. I couldn't understand it. So it was very confusing.
So there must be wire under the plastic that we simply just don't know about. But well, I would have known surprised.
That. I'd already gone through the whole process, you know?
Do you want to hear a quote from a page that I've had stickied from Freud?
Sure.
And this is in 1918. So also, you know, the last time we had a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Ethics are remote from me. I do not break my head very much about good and evil, but I have found little that is good about human beings on the whole. In my experience, most of them are trash, no matter whether they publicly subscribe to this or that ethical doctrine or none at all. So there you go, Freud in 1918, in our last big pandemic, being like, people are trash.
I mean, whoever translated that was really like... They were very modern, you know?
I think people have absolutely been saying so-and-so's trash or garbage for a very long time.
Really?
Yes, as soon as we knew that there was, you know, as soon as we were like, ugh, well, this stuff is waste. It was like, you know what? I know someone who's waste.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
It's beautiful. It's poetry.
It really makes me laugh. Well, when you have time to, like, read for pleasure, Freud is pleasurable.
Okay. I'm excited when that day comes.
I think that you would. I will. There are definitely things I can suggest from Freud and Klein and Winnicott and Lacan. I mean, Lacan, of course, is so crazy banana boots. But I overall just super really love reading Adam Phillips. For those of you out there who don't know Adam Phillips, he is a contemporary psychoanalyst and has written many books and has an incredible, like, I recommend them all. But if you want a good place to start, I say start with On Flirtation.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Oh, it's so great. You would love it, Reed. You would love it, I think, actually.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's really, it's fun. Because you, what's great about psych, I think what you would like from reading psychoanalysis, which comes also from literature, so then there's also literature quotes, is you would feel so, I think it would help, it would make you feel good because you'd be like, I was right.
Oh boy.
I think you will read things and be like, oh, I was right. It is just about how you want to think about it.
There you go. There you have it.
So yeah, On Flirtation is wonderful. It's a real jaw dropper. Just sort of like, oh, of course.
Wait, I wanted to say a thank you.
Did you get a gift and I didn't?
I didn't get a gift, no. Oh. Although apparently I have one in the mail coming from Garen Scribner.
Fun.
I know. I don't know what it is, but he called today and said, did you get something? I said, no. He said, well, the mail must be backed up. I said, well, that's true because my computer monitor was meant to be here a week ago and only came yesterday. So.
Wow. Wow.
Anyways, my new computer monitor came and I had to buy something called a webcam, which I tried out last night on a FaceTime with Russell, during which the first thing he said was, wow, you're so close. And then I said, yeah, I'm trying out this new webcam. And he said, it's not great. I said, why? He was like, your pores look huge.
That's awful. It must be like a high def webcam.
Yeah, it is. And then he took a screenshot, and now I ordered a new webcam in the mail. So anyways.
Why didn't you just put Vaseline on the one you have?
Well, I actually threw the lens out of focus. You can do that. I twisted it. But webcams are apparently all bad. That's what I learned by watching a YouTube video.
What do you mean?
Like almost all inexpensive, like, desktop webcams that mm-hmm. you buy are not meant for like video casting or whatever it's called, vlogging. They're just meant for like phone calls and Zoom and stuff. And so they're not designed to be good. They're actually quite bad. Oh. And Apple products.
Well, it sounds like you had gotten a really good one.
No. It's like,
it was
ugly.
So high def, it showed your pores.
It was so high def that it was almost like I was being captured by, what's that called? When you can see in the dark.
Oh, yeah. Infrared.
Yeah. It was weird. It wasn't great.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, but I'll rarely be using that because the cameras in the phone and the iPad are excellent. So we'll just stick to that for now.
They really are. They really yeah. are. I feel they also like have their own kind of filter on them.
I think so, in a way.
There's
yeah.
something that feels, you know, helpful.
Yeah, and I honor Apple products for doing that, for making us all feel a little bit better about ourselves in these hard right. times. Yeah.
Right.
Anyways, this gift was actually for both of us and for myself and Harriet, et cetera, which is that Garth Grimble, who has a podcast called The Reference Desk, is a dance artist somewhere else. I want to say the Midwest, but I could be wrong. But Garth Grimble has this podcast that I was listening to yesterday, and he was doing a year-end wrap-up, and he said one of his favorite things of 2020 was our series on the Cunningham Dancers that we did last summer.
Yes.
And another thing he loved was the series of pieces that Harriet and I designed this fall for Pam Tanowitz, one being the piece for Russell, the piece for David, and then her Joyce show. And he spoke on those pieces through the lens of our costumes. And that felt, I felt really seen. And it was so nice. It was wonderful. I was like, yeah, this is how it should be.
Well, I mean, certainly it'd be nice to have more dialogue around
that. Yeah, yeah. Any dialogue at all, you know?
Well, and how imperative the design is when what you are doing is watching a body move.
Yeah. That was so nice. I really, really appreciated that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Garth.
That's wonderful. And you don't know this person?
No.
Well, thank you. We've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Truly. But mostly actually just on the kindness of our friends.
Totally. The above. That's wonderful. Also, Patreon patrons, our Wonder Woman review is up. So that is a special gift for our Patreon patrons. Thank you so much for supporting us. And your contributions help insightful phone journalism like this one.
Wow, people really hate that movie. Everyone I've talked to. I mean, Garen and Justin were just on the phone with me trying to trash that movie. And I just was like, well, you know what? I'm for Wonder Woman 1984.
And that's all you get to say. You don't get to talk about it anymore because it is.
I'll say you have to pay your $5.
We needed to make something for our Patreon patrons. And we love you so much. And also just for all of our listeners, we love you so much. I'm saying that at like really the halfway marker of this episode. As we move into, I think the idea of lists will be a compelling one this year. Mm-hmm. I know what my top performance is immediately.
Oh, wow.
Really incredible. I felt like it definitely held the aura of this time in all of its liminality. And that is Britney Spears. It's Just Soap on Instagram. Was absolutely the most enthralling, chilling, hilarious, accurate, iconic performance for me this year. So much so that I had to redo it.
Tremendous. I'd also like to add to that all the performances of whomever that is that does the Barefoot Contessa.
Oh my God.
Barely Contessa. Is that
Barely Contessa. I don't know. I mean, his name is Aaron. And
thank you, Aaron, for all that you do.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that really, those really, really, really made me laugh.
Truly some of the finest performances of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Russell called, or wait. Oh, wait, maybe we were texting, but
going to say thank you, Jeff, for sending again. And Jeff, if you're listening, thank you for sending me those soaps.
Who's Jeff?
Those flower. Jeff is a listener and has also he saw Everything's Imaginable, and he is who sent me
the flower rose soap.
The flower rose soap, so I could recreate, and I want to do a special thank you for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I had two interesting interactions with Russell yesterday. One is which we were talking on Instagram, and I was commenting on his Arabian dance for the miscast Nutcracker New York City Ballet Instagram things.
I loved it so much. I wrote him immediately.
And he was like, wow, I've never gotten more attention for my dancing than I have for this Instagram video. And I started saying like, there's no reason why men shouldn't be doing this role. And, you know, the Arabian dance was originally made on Arthur Mitchell, though this version of the choreography, Russell informed me, was made for Gloria Gavrin. And it's very different from what Arthur Mitchell was doing, which was apparently like sitting on a rug surrounded by four children, smoking a hookah, something like that.
That's what Arthur Mitchell was doing?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So maybe it's best that we stick with the newer choreography. Mm-hmm. But then I went on to, I just basically said, who cares? Like, it should just like do whatever. And Russell said, truly, nobody cares. And he said, ballet is now just Instagram. And I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
ballet.
Nobody cares. Instagram. Ballet is Instagram.
I mean, I definitely, in watching it, thought, and Russell, put it on the main, please. Put it on your main so it can live. It's in watching it, I was really like, it was why I wanted to make the solo I made for Lloyd. I want to see these men do roles that they feel closer to.
Totally.
And that they feel close to. And those roles might not be on the gender binary of whoever the creator was and what their worldview was.
Yeah.
So I definitely, in watching it, was like, oh my God, there are so many Balanchine female roles that I want to see without point shoes and done by a guy.
I mean, look, I'm speaking for many, many young men and now older men who do ballet, people of all generations, but those of us who saw ballet and chose to enter into it, we're not entering into it to perform male roles. You know,
right.
We saw iconic female roles, and that is what created a stirring inside of us. And I mean, mm-hmm. I'm speaking for myself, and I know I'm speaking for many others. So
you are definitely speaking for many others. You're speaking for like almost all the ones we know and are friends with, and which is all of them. And, and I mean, that was, of course, my draw into Graham. It's why I didn't have any desire to keep going forward in that company. Was I was like, I don't want to throw women around or do like a kind of strange iconography of raping a woman. That's not my interest. I want to like pull my intestines out of my dress and eat them and do things called cave turns. And
you absolutely created a situation for yourself in which you could do that.
I made a world for myself where I could put a knee vibration in a show and it could be mine. And I think it's so crazy because what that Arnie Zane interview that I used in Nowhere Apparent, I think it's from 83 or 84, and him talking about how slow it's going in the gender realm, like he's like, it's just everything in terms of sexual orientation and gender is too slow in dance, and it's making me mad. And so crazy to have that voiced then, and to think now of. And it's strange. I mean, but it is a very, I would say, far too slow process. And
I mean,
ballet,
Jack, concepts like this were being voiced far, far, long, long before Arnie Zane in the context of ballet through Nijinska. But, you know, I think in Arnie's universe of dance and, you know, those of us who participate in the dance universe outside of ballet, these things are de rigueur. It's not abnormal to really consider gender inside of dance work, but in ballet it's just like so novel, you know, so like anytime someone disturbs the gender binary in ballet, they're like, oh my God, and it's like front page news, you know.
I love hearing just an oh my God from
oh
you.
My God, two men danced with each other, can you imagine?
It's really, that is absolutely, what does that remind me of? Wait, I have to think of it. Oh, yeah, it reminds me of the Kristen Wiig character that you and I both are, which is Mindy Grayson.
Mindy Elise,
Mindy Elise Grayson, when she's like, the New York Times said, oh, my God. That would be how it goes. That would be how it goes for that. Yeah. Oh, my God. It reminds me of the review I got for my stunning dance, Two Men Dance Together, from the New York Times. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so crazy. Anyways.
Oh, that is hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, it is this thing where I, when ballet gets to be performed live again, when everything gets to be performed live again, I hope that this time of not being able to do it. And that has also been a time for reflection, for violence against Black people, what is happening in our trans community and in the BIPOC trans community, and where does art want to be a place and a source of imagining towards our future, and where does it want to stay halted in the past? And
right.
I think that this time has actually opened up some really great dialogues around that, just by the juggernaut of capitalism just stopping and people being able to take an inventory.
Right.
Yeah. So may that go forward, you know?
Yeah. And for those people who listen to this podcast, who come to it through the lens of ballet or through an experience in ballet, which is, you know, many, many people, myself included, up to a point, just know that for a lot of us who are watching what feels new or novel in ballet, and it gets this incredible kind of applause or a kind of attention that so often is misplaced on ballet because of its placement in the sort of universe of dance as a top tier dance form, top tier.
Yeah. Or some idea of like Olympus.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I just like think a little beyond it that, you know, for many, many people, it's a bit of an eye roll because so many people have already thought beyond that for a long, 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 long time. They just haven't gotten any attention or resources or audience because it's not the capitalist juggernaut that ballet sort of is. Although, no. Look, no one has any in the scheme of the world. There's no money in dance. Period.
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 There is no money in dance. Period. Ballet or otherwise. It's just. It is in the scheme of the world where dance falls, which is just above poetry.
Right, right. But if you're really curious and you see a thing that's like new, feels new to you in a ballet dance, take a look, give it a heart.
It's and then in a like, book.
Yeah, it's give it a look. It's in a book. It's a reading rainbow. And then go back and research some people who did it a million years ago and have truly researched it in a much, much more thorough way than anyone in ballet ever will.
Right. Right. I mean, I will say, and we have talked about it on this podcast before, Mark Morris, who has worked in the ballet world, has absolutely been like, and I would also say that for Forsyth some. And but in both of those, we're not looking at someone who is doing classical ballet, but is drawing from it and commenting on it, perhaps. Not always. I don't actually find Mark to be that much of a commentator. Certainly not like Bill.
No, I think Mark has a way of employing sort of subversive ideas or non-normative ideas in a way that's very natural. That's very like welcoming, you know, that it doesn't feel novel and it doesn't feel like a comment. You're right.
Right. Yeah. And not in that same way that, the iciness of a Forsyth, which I love, of course. Let's see. What else? That was our talk about dance.
Russell also asked me yesterday, it was either what were you grateful for in 2020 or what was, What were some, I don't remember the wording.
So many things I was grateful for in 2020.
But basically, like, what are some of the highlights of 2020 for you? I think that was the question.
Yes. Well, immediately, my first answer, because it's just so incredible, completely captures the liminality of our time, is the It's Just Soap video by Britney Spears.
Oh, my Jack.
Oh, that was so fun. But I do have to give it another round of applause. Really incredible capture. I am so, so grateful that, I mean, I'm obviously very grateful that Parker had me, let me, invited me to come live in her house. And there's something that I think inside of this encounter with nature, which is this virus, there's been something that I have felt really very grateful for on a daily basis of just being able to be in nature. Mm. And I've taken walks and hikes that I mean, I've been up here for years, you know, for stints at a time, and have not gone on any of these trails or any of these hikes. And those were really special times because I think having grown up in a sort of more rural setting, I was like, get me out of here. And all I want to see is like smoke and buildings. And so there was a kind of healing in that for me, of because this does remind me, the landscape does remind me certainly more of where I grew up than where I live now, which can at times feel haunting, triggering, and in this scenario has felt really wonderful. I also feel it provided me some time to access a new way of writing. I mean, I have these like 50 some odd pages of poems, and I don't know what I'll ever do with them. But getting to work my mind in that way has been a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And a full, like, I wouldn't even say rediscovery. I'd say a discovery of making food. Like,
yeah, I like that for you.
You've had my cold cut salads and my casseroles. Oy. And my hot mush, yeah, as you've all called it.
Had all of it.
And I just got way more into going to the store, like planning meals, making things. I mean, Jeremy is really an incredible cook, and I am fine. But just getting into food has been a real, also a real surprise. So, like, just things that have felt more elemental. Mm-hmm. Doing something creative, making something to eat, and being, you know, taking time to really be in nature. Mm. What is it for you?
A few things. Well, I'll just start in a sort of materialistic way by saying another shout out to an Apple product. I'm very grateful for my iPad Pro. I feel like it's opened up avenues of creativity for me that have been really profound and expanded my notions of what I'm capable of in my art practice. And I also have to thank my school, being at University of the Arts, for also kind of demanding of me that I expand my notions about, you know, everything, but particularly my own creativity.
So I feel have like, loved the videos you've made.
Yeah, I've really
loved.
I mean, like, the whole talk thing was sort of the start of me being like, wow, look at what's possible with this machine. Right. And then, you know, moving on from there to this Ben Pranger's performative methodologies class, etc. So that's been a great eye-opening part of 2020 for me in my own kind of selfish practice. Also 2020, I feel like it's actually been socially really good for me in some ways, because it's forced me to acknowledge my own aloneness, because I am one of these people who's in a situation where I am not a partnered person. I'm not in a roommate situation generally. So I've had to really know that I need to reach out to people via Zoom, FaceTime, the phone to like feel connected. And I have to say that like having this relationship via FaceTime and the phone with Jeremy and with you and with James and Bella to a certain extent, a lot with Russell. Russell and I were reminiscing on like spending, you know, 7 hours on FaceTime making bagels together. And, you know, it's like,
oh my God,
we've
right,
actually like gone through a lot of experiences together via
right
FaceTime, and really like, and Drew for reaching out constantly and like making sure that I'm like not alone. And especially like Joe Walsh and Lauren Strongen, who have like showed up for me in this like unbelievable way of just spending hundreds of hours with me via FaceTime. I mean, I could cry about it. It's really, yeah, it's just been so, it's been weird and like kind of wonderful to feel loved in that way. So
you yeah. are so loved, Reed. I mean, that was what was, I mean, so fun about your birthday. It was so, and I mean, I said this, I don't know if I said it on the pod, but everyone texted back immediately. Everyone. Joe, yeah. Lauren, Isaac, David.
Yeah. I mean just also everybody. Like reconnecting with David this year and having yeah. Stuart and also Lindsay often in communication. And yeah, it's just like reaffirmed friendships. And it's not like a different group of people, you know? It's like, it's right. just like, I feel in some ways closer to these people because it's felt imperative that I stay in communication with them.
Yes, well, and I think there's also something to this time of, you know, mortality is real. We're all going to die at some point. And this heightened experience with it, at just sort of where it's more around the, it's just more around, period. I don't even need to abstract it. I think it's also deepened in relationships. It's been, I mean, Renee and I have been friends, oh my God, for like over 20 years. Mm. And it's been so great to deepen into that relationship. And talking with you, or certainly Neil, and then Ryan Walker Page becoming more of someone who I've been talking with. And also a real highlight for me was when people quarred, when you and Daniel Rampula quarred and Chris Garneau had quarred, and we made those music videos.
Yeah, that was a big highlight of 2020.
That was like, I mean, it was also at a time when like the numbers were so much lower, and it felt like we got this pocket of time. I mean, it was also crazy because I was getting Lyme at that time, which sucked. I remember being like, I remember feeling kind of sick, and I was like, right, I got Lyme. I got a fucking bill from that urgent care that I went to that misdiagnosed me. Uh-huh. And they were like, you still owe $44. I need to call them and be like, you misdiagnosed me with Lyme and you misdiagnosed me with shingles. Like,
I know, but they saw you is the thing.
Well, they did it wrong. And they,
I know, but that's not, I mean, there's these whole process is inherently flawed, you know, like there's no, it's
urgent, you know. Cares are literally should just be to go to get tested for COVID, get your vaccine, and if you broke
then,
something,
I mean, then you're to blame because you went to an urgent care.
I really am, but I didn't know because I thought, I mean, that my treatment was delayed on both Lyme, and my treatment was so delayed on shingles that it was like a nightmare. God,
I know, but they didn't misdiagnose you on purpose.
I will remedy that by not paying them on purpose.
I don't know, Jack.
You know, it's just,
I don't think that remedies it.
Well, I do feel like calling and being like, I was misdiagnosed on these, and you know, so I'll pay this if you let me speak to the doctor who I saw, because I would like to talk to him about like what that was like. And really,
well, I mean, I think that it's not worth talking to this person to try to make them feel bad. I think
I don't want them to feel bad. I want to educate them. From
exactly.
The
I think it might be worth talking to them just to say, oh, I just wanted to let you know that this is what it turned out to be. So I just wanted to repeat what my symptoms were for future people who come in.
Totally, totally. But to do I'm it like this. This is a great example of detach with love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, they performed their service to the best of their abilities. And, you know, you have to pay for that.
And you have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's like going to a restaurant where you didn't like the food, but, you know, you ate the food, so you have to pay for the food.
Tea queen. I love that example. I think, but that little pocket of time that we got to make the two videos for Chris Garneau and hang out together, and I loved making food and this strange little collaborative team making these music videos. Ladies from another, if you you should watch them. They're out.
Yeah, they're great.
They're on Chris, well, they'd be on YouTube.
Totally, Chris Garneau YouTube. It's been a great year for like working only with people that I love. With you yeah. and with Jeremy and with Pam relentlessly, which yeah. I'm so grateful to just basically this whole fall, I've just worked with Pam, which is like a dream come true.
I mean, and Jeremy has, it's it's interesting because it's, Jeremy's also really loving working with Pam.
It's the best.
And you're all really getting to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real... Yeah.
And, you know, even pre-COVID, 2020 started, you know, designing a dance for Justin at City Ballet, which is almost always a pleasure and turned out to be something, you know, surprising and that we really like and are proud of. And then
yeah.
got to meet a new friend and choreographer, Craig Davidson, and make a dance for him with him in Idaho, which was so fun, and reconnect with old friends. So 2020 has had a lot of bright spots and like really exciting kind of scary moments of like escaping from the COVID or escaping from my claustrophobic apartment, et cetera. So
when we first drove out of, well, and also like in terms of projects, you know, doing the Nowhere Apparent, the AIDS Oral History Project was, the, mm-hmm. which was at the end of January. That was a big deal for me. I mean, it's something that I had been thinking about for 20 some years, and then to have that amount of research time and to be able to make something that honored those that we don't have now really meant a lot. And then so wild to then go and teach and then have the summer be fully about making videos. I did that Guggenheim Works in Process. You did your Guggenheim's Works in Process. Then we made the music videos for Chris Garneau. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see them, one is called Now On. The other is called Not the Child. And then doing that weird video for like getting the vote out that happened this summer. That's
how you got Lyme disease.
I was being interviewed for that. The We the People.
That's the price you pay for trying to get rid of Donald Trump. Yeah, it worked.
Truly, I should have detached.
All you had to do was get Lyme, and you know, Donald Trump's gone. Well, sort of.
Oh wow, amazing, cool.
it's worth it.
Yeah. So, and we, I'm very, and I will say that I am very grateful for work, and for how much work I've had. And I think you were sighing because you thought very grateful that Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. Being removed. I love that.
Oh, beyond. I mean, beyond.
Being removed.
I have to say it was a really nice, well, a few weeks before it, I remember you were worried and I was like, no, it's going to work out. So
God, if ever there is a person who really personifies the qualities of cancer, it is Donald Trump. How insidious he has been. It's terrible.
Yes. And I'd also say I'd really have to put Mitch McConnell maybe even above. I think Mitch McConnell is more evil, more meaning. Like he means it. Donald Trump doesn't have a value, whereas Mitch McConnell really is about destroying the poor.
Mitch McConnell's disgusting and worse than Donald Trump.
Yes. And I think there's also something to, as I was saying to Jeremy, I mean, Mitch McConnell's hands, he might actually be a dead demon here to try and kill everybody. Yeah. So anyhow, yes, big relief on that for sure as well. That Biden and Harris
in our remaining
are here.
They better work.
I mean, they better.
You know,
they
and
really
I mean
better.
That.
I really
better work. Yeah. What else can we say about 2020? I think we kind of covered it.
You know? Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that. Here's some videos I liked. Well, obviously, I enjoyed getting to know Lizzie Chi. I liked it when they brought together all those African dancers to do Rite of Spring on the beach. That was beautiful. I liked when New York City Ballet had their digital seasons. That felt festive and, you know, nostalgic. I liked James Whiteside's Fancy Nut Mix that you can still watch. You can watch that.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Are you still there? Oh, okay. what other videos have been great? Pam Tanowitz's recent show with the Joyce. Some of the works in process pieces that the Guggenheim has so generously doled out to so many people to keep people creating. Gosh. What else?
I fully agree with Jack. All of those. And I'm also just going to add in Circle Jerk.
Which I couldn't watch. I tried.
What do you mean you couldn't watch? Like you got a ticket and then it didn't work?
No, like I signed up to get a ticket and there's something about the like interface that didn't work. Like I couldn't get a ticket.
Michael, fix it for Reed.
I know. Yeah, send me the video. I also really enjoyed Royal Ballet's digital offerings this year. They made some really... Well, they just have phenomenal dancers, so it's nice to watch them sort of do anything. Some of the Trisha Brown Dance Company's early on kind of Instagram-y Zoom things where her concepts actually kind of worked for that, like, I'm alone in a room, totally. But we're dancing together.
Totally. That's real. The Invisible Man. That was great. It was really scary.
That dance really film scary. Was incredible.
It was really good. And I loved The Witches and you didn't like it. And you loved Wonder Woman and I didn't like it. And
I've really enjoyed watching Killing Eve. I know I'm late to the game, but it's an exceptional show.
Can't seem to get into any TV show. I mean, Watchmen was just so incredible that that was really remarkable. Watchmen. I mean, I know that was my best of in 2019, so.
Oh, and I love watching Congresswoman Katie Porter take down people with her wipe-off board in congressional hearings.
Oh, that's
really
fun.
Really fun.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll have to watch that.
Oh, so fun. She does it like they're kids. And she's like, how much money would you say? And she starts writing down numbers. It's so good. There's one where she's talking to Mnuchin. What's his
first
name? It might
be Carl. Tim. I think it's Tim Mnuchin. Who knows? Anyhow. Shitbags Mnuchin.
And she starts talking him through some like legal stuff. And he's like, well... He's like, are you a lawyer? And she doesn't even answer the question. She just moves right on. She is like a Harvard lawyer. She's like an Ivy League lawyer. Incredible.
What's her name again? I can't
wait.
Katie
Porter.
I can't
California.
Wait.
California.
Watch
You're
it tonight.
Love her.
That sounds fun. That sounds
She's
fun.
No joke.
I love it.
Oh, right. We're at an hour.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
okay, well, we really love you.
Happy New Year. Stay safe this January. It's going to be no joke. This is not one of those things of like, goodbye, 2020. Hello, 21. This is absolutely, here comes coronavirus still. Now with even more feeling. So stay safe. And let's just, you know, practice more and more mindfulness and detachment and care in 21. And hopefully get to.
Oh, and I'm going to just say one more thing that I just remembered. One of my top favorite video offerings was the Cindies doing their Star Wars themed dance class. Yes. Anyways,
yes.
Thank you for that in 2020.
A big laugh. There's if we get into Instagram, I just won't be able to like endlessly talk endless. About it. But thanks again, Britney Spears. You were the icon of how weird this year. And be, and yet gave me hope for just, you know, just being. All right, well, thank you, listeners. We love you.
We really love you, and we'll see you in the new year.
For you.
Hi, Dense and Stuff listeners. This is Margaret Fuhrer. I'm the editor and producer of the Dense Edit podcast. Like you, we love Reed and Jack over at the Dense Edit, and if you get especially excited when they turn into journalists and do reporting, we think you might like our podcast too. The Dense Edit podcast is a weekly Dense news show. It's hosted by me and three other editors from Dense Media. We work on Dense Magazine and Dense Spirit and Point. And every Thursday, we discuss and sometimes yell a little bit about the week's top Dense news stories, and then we interview one of the Dense artists who's shaping the news. And our recent interview guests have actually included a few Dense and Stuff friends. We've had Kyle Abraham, we've had Lloyd Knight. Basically, we've built a nice little nerdy community, and we hope you'll join it. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts and at thedenseedit.com/podcast.